7:06. Roll call, please.
Mayor Gunderson?
Present.
Danny Kimmerlich?
Here.
Alan Starnes?
We'll be here at 7:30.
Shirley Brown?
Here.
Jack Foster Jr.?
Excuse me.
Marita Gunderson?
Here.
Brett Mavlashin?
Here.
I'm not sure there's a quorum. First order of business is approval of the agenda.
I guess I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. You guys have the correct one, but we're moving resolution 1403 up to the consent agenda and adding three additions to new business: 20 Ganacious Reward Fund, Vicious Dog Ban, and KCP donation request, and we will be tailoring the Harbor Master assistant job to the next meeting. I think that's all.
Yes, that's very well done. Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And before I ask for the question, we'll just clarification on the resolution. 1403 appointing election judges is a thing we do yearly at the time of election, so that's why I moved to the consent agenda. Question?
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan? Brett?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Next order of business is the consent agenda. Everybody have a chance to read the minutes? Corrections, deletions, type words. Hearing none, need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
One second.
Questions?
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan? Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Okay, on the reports, Krista, finance officer.
Raw fish tax revenue for July was $121,976.31. Sales tax revenue was $104,161.56. Bank balance was $3,777,419.47. And there's an expenditure and revenue guideline available. Anybody have any questions?
Any questions for Krista? And do you have anything to add to the financial report? Okay, thanks, Krista. Andy?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor and council members, good evening. I like how he always says that. I should be more formal that way. But I'll go through some of the projects and things that we discussed in past meetings. And you know, one of the projects I'll talk about, there's a few folks from QAP and HDR to maybe as I'm talking, they can help fill in
sure,
that situation.
Sure.
Because there's really no other point in the agenda except for the very end. It might be appropriate.
No, I think it would be appropriate for them to fill in any time you want. Then.
So, the first thing item I was going to talk about was the Sandpoint Road rehabilitation. QAP has been here since for at least a week. And removing and grinding up asphalt, and HDR is here to provide administration and inspection services. So maybe I'll hand it over to those guys to give us the latest, because we discussed the road in depth today, and we'll kind of have an update of where things are.
Sure. Darren, you want to try tackling their discussion this morning and the concerns that were brought at our meeting this morning and the resolve that we have come up with since.
As far as the issues that we've ran into, basically what it is our intention coming down here was to not remove the asphalt in a normal fashion and just get rid of it, but to grind it and incorporate it into base course and make it a better road. We've since found that there's some issues subsurface that we've encountered, which I'm sure all of you guys have had the mud spray up on the windshield and the ruts grab you as you drive through. We sat down with QAB, the city, HDR, and got all parties involved this morning. That we've all been kind of working together to get through the issues, but at this point right now we're working with the city to the Public Works and Dave to dig out the soft spots and try to get the best road we can out of it, utilizing the materials that we have on hand and trying to do what we can to limit the amount of additional cost of the projects. As far as schedule-wise, I'm sure everybody's kind of wondering when we're going to finally be done and out of here. We'd like to be done by the end of the week. Paving got pushed back one day, but that's in a benefit to everybody with some of the issues that we have with our plant. We want to make sure that it's producing the mix that's spelled out in the contract, which is, you know, designed for a reason. So that pushed back from today at 3 to tomorrow at noon, tentatively, hopefully a little earlier. But at that point, we'll be waiting for some samples and testing to come back from the city's representation on behalf of HDR, which is Shannon Wilson. And at that point, we'll step into Sandpoint or Airport Road and begin taking that out. So that should be about 5 days of paving once we start.
Okay. So. Thanks, Darren. Joe, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think tomorrow, as soon as we get Sandpoint Ave paved, we're going to take the core as soon as the asphalt is cool enough, get it on pen air back to Anchorage, get it to our lab, have results by the morning so that these guys can pave Wednesday so there's no delay. You know, we can go back to back.
Okay, and according to earlier today, we're kind of still sticking with what we talked about at the meeting, right? That's how we're going to work that process. Okay. I know in your presentation, we talked about Sandpoint Avenue, and I know you guys would like to keep that closed for the night, so it will remain intact where it is, and I know you'd asked that earlier. I think somebody brought that to my attention, and so we can keep the road blocked off for the night. Is that still what you guys want us to do?
Yeah. Basically, in order to get that and leave that surface as suitable and in the best scenario for paving, we've had to steal all the material we can from the road to cover all the underlying boulders, stuff like that, so that we've got a good base course to pave on. So that being the case, we no longer have any material without importing. So, you know, the city working with us to allow us to keep that code down for tonight is going to be a huge help.
Okay.
Provide a better product.
So. Okay. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Was there a sign at the top of the hill to have it closed?
A sign at the top of the hill.
It was? Okay. I walked by it earlier at about 5 o'clock and there was no barriers in there. There was at the bottom of the hill, but not at the top of the hill.
As far as no signs, barriers saying road closed, do we have anything that we can put there?
I don't know if you have anything up at the up at the yard that I might be able to steal a sign for each side.
I think that was
what I did. Is I set up double arrows just to let people know you can go, you know, towards Trident or towards the harbor.
Okay.
And as far as coming from this direction, you can head to the back side of the hotel or up the road. But otherwise, I can definitely, if Dave's got something, I can.
Yeah, we don't want people come slipping through there in the middle of the night. But I'm sure that you guys will be out, you know, cruising around. And anybody that by chance slips through there accidentally, if they don't see sign road closed, you know, we want everybody to understand that this is to make sure that the road project moves forward and give us a good product. That's the most important part of disclosure. So we don't have to go back over and get more material and wait for another period of time to get it paved or road.
Okay.
Andy?
Okay.
Thank you.
On to the dock replacement. The city As the city council knows, we're in discussion with DOT and our lobbyists and others, and the DOT commissioner to replace Sand Point Dock. So P&D engineers, just late last week, I didn't even have a chance to look at it until yesterday, they sent us the three preliminary designs and cost estimates for the different concepts of the drawings. And sorry I didn't include that. I should have actually put it off to the council, but passed it around anyway. But it's three concepts, a pile-supported dock, like we currently have, the open cell sheet design, which has been done in various areas of the Southwest, and a tieback option. You know, the cost for those three range from $8.4 million to $13.5 million. But, so hopefully, around the end of this month, beginning of October, we'll have been able to discuss with our design team and the mayor and the folks we went through to choose P&D and to give them this direction. We'll have the preferred alternative design chosen. And we'll share that with the council, get some feedback and others in the community. And then that's the timing will work out well, because that's what goes to DOT for their budget request. And then we'll cross our fingers and hopefully it stays in there, and then the legislature can have at it. So that's where we are with that. As far as a community member had a comment wondering where the dock will be, will it be replace the same footprint, or would it be just south of that way you could, you'd still be on the breakwater there, but adjacent to the current dock, that way that could still be usable. We'll have to discuss that and see if that'll be feasible with P&D. But to keep one open while another was being constructed would be great. But we'll figure that out.
Also, maybe in their conversation with us, we might want to also relay that they did talk about, was there any space available further to the southwest or to the west on that break wall? Because number one, their concern was not to interrupt any commerce traffic that comes into the San Juan Harbor. We had talked about that. And they're looking also at maybe being a little bit able to go a little bit further to the west, a couple hundred feet, if that's doable.
Yeah. That was another presentation. Right, and at the workshop, a community member made a comment that whatever design we go with, want to make sure it can accommodate what the future customer ferry might look like, although there's stuff in the air as well, but that will definitely be taken into consideration. Some other items. Last week, I was at the Substance Abuse Summit in Anchorage, and Officer Livingston was there. He'll probably have some comments later regarding it, but it was a good gathering of a lot of regional community leaders and legislators, and it does sound like there's already things that are happening that are being followed up on. Apparently, APICTA has pledged some money towards a project that might have some good for combating substance abuse in the region. And I know that EATS, I got was reading an email after our workshop that the EATS director is going to be in San Point, I think October 1st. And there's going to be a meeting up between them, the city, housing authority, about trying to put a safe house, getting a safe house together in San Point. So kind of start the discussions there. So that's positive. In the harbor, anyone that uses the harbor knows there are some issues with the power. But the mayor intervened with Pumping Electric, and as they were changing out the breakers, stopped them and told them to change them back to where they were. So I don't know if they're all done today, but soon all boats should have power again. And we are waiting for a waiver from the state, or at least a one-year reprieve to kind of figure something out. I found that out after the workshop as well. So, you know, that was putting in those breakers was something that we came down as an edict from the state. We requested a waiver months ago for that, and they denied it, and this happened. So they I don't know if they have any remorse, but they realized that was kind of a difficult position they put the city and the vessel owners in, so they're kind of reconsidering that. So I'll keep the council up to speed on what we hear back from them.
And in their conversation also, Andy, you might want to put in the questions from the other harbors too. There's concerns from the other harbors that are experiencing the same problems we're having.
And right, yeah.
And then to answer your question about as far as Puffin has a representative down there right now, they're about halfway through down on B float, so hopefully by tomorrow they'll have B float back up and running.
Okay. And ENT are still?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was two guys, now it's just one.
So one, right.
Working a little bit slower. The mayor, city attorney, and I met with URS last week to discuss compensation of the additional flotation that we had to put in because of their design. We have a letter to them asking for a specific dollar amount that I'll follow up on when I get back in Anchorage or at the end of this week. And R&M will be going through the same process with the construction administration firm that we feel is also responsible in some manner for this for a variety of reasons, and we'll follow up with them as well with their meeting. We negotiated a contract deduction with Pacific Pile because of how some of the billets were installed. We discovered that they weren't up to specs. There was a deduct there in their contract. And the good news is we're all paid up $500,000 for the rest of the harbor matching grant, and that came in a couple weeks ago. So once we get these sort of legal issues taken care of and that with the breakers, the harbor is... We can cut the ribbon on it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Election's coming up. We know that. And Shannon and I will make sure everything is prepared well to be our first election. So, several names in the ring this time around. So we'll have to make sure it goes off without a hitch. The audit's going on right now with the city, and they were out last week. The auditor was, and from all indications I got, they got everything they needed from Krista. I've sent them some information a few times back and forth this week too, and it sounds like it's going smoothly, so it should be done before December, hopefully before November even. I'll be taking a trip back to see my family and introduce them to the four-month-old from September 23rd through the 30th, but I'm easy to reach by phone or email, so if things pop up, anyone can get a hold of me. And finally, we got a $25,000 grant from the Rasmussen Foundation, and our insurance company matched that with $10,000 to purchase rubber mulch material to put on a playground out there. That way we can get rid of the gravel, it'll be safer, kids could fall 8 feet from the top one of those and probably just bounce right back up. It's going to be 6 inches deep of rubber material. And so that's ordered, and hopefully it can show up and we can have it installed before the weather turns terrible. But whatever gets there, it's going to be 66 tons of material. And Coastal was good. They gave us a nice, a really good discount on shipping it here. So the grant covered the material and more, and then just part of the shipping too. So it'll cost us a few $1,000 to cover the rest of the shipping, but it's it'll be a lot of material, nice and springy. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Andy. Council, okay. Here now, Chief.
Switch sides of the room on you there, sorry.
Yeah, we'll over there.
No, August was a no salmon fishing month, so it left quite a few people still in town, and I think our numbers reflect that. Still, it was a steady month without any big major event for the police department, so we're happy to report that. Probably one of the biggest things for us in August was the startup of school again, trying to dedicate as much time as we can, not only patrolling traffic in that area, but also inside the school, interacting with kids, and we want to continue that through the year. We have a presentation and an interaction with them scheduled for Friday, early morning at breakfast, and we can talk about four-wheelers and four-wheeler use and what's acceptable and not. So I'm looking forward to that and making sure that they have every opportunity to ask any questions that they have before they get held accountable for actions on the roadway which shouldn't be occurring. Another big event that happened in August was Miss Susan and Sam Davis left the EMS service after a long period of time here, and certainly left a hole there. But like my report notes in writing, Miss Susan's going to stay on with us in some capacity because Eads is going to maintain her as a local trainer. So she'll be paying frequent visits to Fallon and helping us. She's already helping just because she remains so networked in the community, recruiting some new volunteers to replace others that have left. We lose Tarenti Dushkin, Matt Dushkin, who's been a pretty steady and appreciated driver for us on the ambulance, and then his girlfriend, Miss Gould, too, is leaving on the ferry coming out. So another loss to the service, but we do have people that are ready to respond, and we're looking to shore up that position. Sergeant Livingston did attend the conference that the city administrator mentioned, and I'd be happy to give him the floor and feel free to comment on that. And anything else you'd like to?
Thanks, Chief. It was a pretty big event. It was well attended. There was over 100 people there. Governor Velasco presented in the early morning. The law enforcement panel that I served on included Gary Folger, the commissioner of the Alaska State Troopers, Jim Cockrell, the colonel of the Alaska State Troopers, Sergeant Bacon from Alaska, and then it was emceed by Barrett Taylor, who's a VPSO in Nelson Lagoon. And really interesting conference. Sandpoint came out really strong as a strong, positive role model for other communities on how to deal with substance abuse. Where the topics range from traumatic brain injury to chronic alcoholism, and some of the topics that will possibly impact us strongly include, like the city administrator mentioned, the possibility of a house being dedicated here in Sandpoint for people who are returning to the community after long-term substance abuse counseling. And the other strong component was the possibility of implementing tribal justice so that youngsters can be diverted from getting a criminal record into a tribal court. So we expect to have another great conference next year, and thank you for letting me attend if anybody has any questions.
Do we have any questions for Sergeant Livingston? Chief?
Just one short addition to the tribal justice issue is that we continue to work with the QT tribe downstairs. We have an active grant out, and the Tiffany has been very participative and helpful. And we do hope to have, you know, the end result is a hope to have an officer that will be employed that can be an intermediary between not just the tribal people in the community, but other people where we can divert prosecution maybe and hold accountability at a local level. So those continue to move forward. The grants in the federal system, you know, that system grinds really slow. So it goes, but there's future progress I know coming up. And I'm pretty excited about it, actually.
Okay. Any other comments?
Sure.
How about we talk about the holding facility a little bit, maybe just an update on what we...
Yeah, I guess we did talk about that before. There are some real inadequacies for long-term stay in our facility downstairs as far as jail. And, you know, we're just not set up to have anybody more than 2 or 3 days, and we can't cater to their needs in the state. Troopers are responsible for transporting prisoners out of here after we arrest. And the threshold is 3 days unless circumstances exist that they have, you know, inability to get them, and that means airfare or available personnel. And that's frankly been taken far too advantage of, and we have people staying. We've had them as long as 3 weeks, and it's just not right to have those people here with the conditions that we have. So we kind of entered into some discussions. I think we talked about a council meeting maybe 2 ago. We entered some discussions with DOC, and that started off a little bit slow. But more recently, in this last week, it's been moved up, and it's going toward the commissioner in consideration of making us a contract jail facility. There's certainly no promises or anything, but at least the discussions are going to a higher level. And if that were the case, then the state would be responsible for providing the city with a significant amount of money that could hire real jail guards, train them appropriately, you know, mitigate the exposures that the city might have, and upgrade the facility to where if we're going to have someone here for 10 days, then they get proper care and they're treated right, and they don't have to sit, you know, in a box, which is essentially solitary confinement. It's, you know, no separation between the photo facilities and the bunks or where you eat. It's just, things need to be improved. So I'm very happy to report that we're making some progress. I'll keep everyone informed as that goes, and I'll probably spend some time, I should spend some time talking to both the city administrator and the mayors. Those things seem to be on a, on at least a movement right now.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chief. Any other comments?
No, but happy to answer any questions.
Okay, here I'm on. Dave?
Good evening. We were real busy last month. We did a bunch of sweeping of roads, grading. Put two culverts in the trailer court. We had to do some work on our fuel truck. We had two bad brakes, and we worked on the leaky fuel line. Worked on the fuel tank for the big crusher. We pulled it off, brought it to the shop, cleaned it all up, made sure it was ready so we could start crushing. Put rocks in the on the bike paths, or the walk paths from Apartment Hill, kids have been riding the four-wheelers down it. We also still got to put some rocks on Trident's Road. They're running down that walk path now. Put signs up in the harbor. We put in that new Russian sign. That came out really good. We hauled rock for quality one afternoon when the barge was in. We hauled a few loads to tow Alaska. As far as water sewer, we finally finished the guy lift station. That's all up and running and done. We had our monthly water testing. We had to do porta potties for the last 2 months, twice a week for aerospace. We're going to be billing them out for that. We found two water leaks and worked on them, fixed them. And we had a broken sewer line at Dave Adams' residence. The landfill, we worked on the garbage truck and we had a dump cleanup day. We still got some work to do on our incinerator. As far as everything else up there, it's working fine. Recycle continues to be great. I mean, Walter's awesome. We hauled 5 barrels of oil down there so you could burn in some black gold furnace. We hauled three loads of totes of glass that were crushed. And as far as the fire department, everything's fine. I had trucks running this last weekend and everything. And ready to go. That's all I've got.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you. You know, as we know, Dave's probably going to be going shortly sometime in the near future, not too far away, but the near future. And I look at our fire department and we think of the fire chief, so we're hopefully looking for that position to be filled. We do have a defined position. Multiple position, hopefully, will fall into place when the time comes. But Dave's been very busy and trying to get the rock crusher working. And we're trying to work a program out with Shumigan Corporation. Andy and I are working on that project, and Glenn, I see he's here, so maybe we'll eventually get an MOA out to where we can at least sit down and hammer something out that would be comparable to the city and to the Shumigan Corporation, and still give us the rock that we need. Thanks, Dave. Any other comments? Any questions, Brad? Okay, the harbor master, he's gone. His report is in here. We talked about it this afternoon. I guess the biggest issue was the power in the harbor. We did address that issue. It's being taken care of. And guys are getting back online. Derelict vessels, there, some of them have come up to their time of notice, so we're going to get in council direction auction time for that. Andy and I will be following up with our code and legal opinion as far as how do we get that set out so we can do sealed bids on those derelict and abandoned boats who are actually in collections for the city. Kenny's been working on our system down there. He has a proposal for us. I'll be passing on to you guys sometime this week. I'll make a notification of it and show you what he's got in mind for the harbor down there, especially as far as replacing and installing new walls in the bathrooms and facilities. I'm just going to upgrade those, plus some wireless cameras. And that's about all. The harbor master had to report.
Any questions from the harbor? Raymond will be filling in tomorrow for him. He'll be starting tomorrow, right, Shannon? Okay. Hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. Andy, you want to?
Yeah. So the first resolution in 15-04, this is authorizing the city attorney administration to recover, to take necessary actions to recover unpaid debts over the city of Camp Point. Over the years, people are in arrears, they don't pay debt, and whether it's water and sewer, refuse, harbor fees, leases, there's a variety of things that certain individuals in town owe money to the city, and they do give donations, but the city is not a charity. So if people aren't paying for services, it's maybe time to pursue these collections. It's not fair to other citizens that do pay for their services. So for the audit purposes, Krista had a list of unpaid collections over the past 10 years or so, but we can only legally go up to the past 6 years. And so that's what this list in the dollar figure signifies. It's over $100,000. And the game plan for it's anything over $10,000, that's where our city attorney would have to be involved for legal action. If it's under $10,000, which is what the majority of these, we could prepare one small claims case, or they could prepare it and use it as a basis for the city, and then we'll have to have an employee do that for the rest of it. That way we're not piling up attorney fees. They'll kind of show us how to do it, and we'll have to take it from there. But what will happen there is going after 50% of the PFD attorney residents that are from any folks that are still in the state. They're not in Alaska, but we know that they're still active in town, fishing or whatnot, and we can pursue other avenues there, but the PFD would be the easiest avenue. And you submit all those documents in April for that year's PFD. So we obviously missed this year.
So that gives us from now till April too.
Right, to work with the attorney and start recovering these.
Also have any comments? Resolution? Any input? Motion to adopt resolution 1404.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 1404.
Second.
Any further comments on it? Hearing no question, please.
Danny?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Brayette?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 1405, Andy?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. This was from the Maha Mission House in the Parade. They contacted me a few weeks ago. They're putting in an application to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation for the Teacher Health Professional and Public Safety Housing Grant Program. And so and I think with this, their specific grant application is going to be for professional, health professional housing standpoint. So I don't know if they're going to have an arrangement with EATS for any health professionals, but they had a couple of areas in town they were thinking about putting this. One would be over by the existing fourplex over there when you turn right on Sandport. And then the other spot would be kind of further up the road from the clinic on the right side of the road. I forget exactly lot specifics. I have to look at the map. But anyway, they were just the application period is now, and they were asking for a resolution and support from the city for that program.
Hey, any further comments on it, Council? Hearing none, motion to adopt. Resolution 1405.
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 1405.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further comment on it?
Can I ask to abstain?
Before we make, yeah? Pardon?
Can I ask to abstain from this vote? Because I'm in the apartment rental business, and this is going to take away from some of our people that have leases with us. I do believe.
Okay. I think that's a wise choice. Okay. Any other further comments on it? There are none. Question, please, Shannon.
Danny?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Nothing under old business. New business is Harbor Master Assistant job description. Andy?
So may I think we table that?
Oh, yes, that's table until next. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my own written one, so I better get that down. But sorry about that.
It's up here. Get that one.
No, this is.
Okay. Second. Order of business then is or the draft harbor crane policy.
Okay, I worked with Mooney and put this together. He got a copy of what they do in Homer for their public dock crane use. They have an operator agreement and permit and something, you know, fiscal. Some fee attached to it. And so this very, very closely mirrors what they do in Homer and what other folks that have experience in their harbor, when they've used this program, that seem to work well. So we just sort of mirrored it that way. A couple of comments there is that I think Mooney's still trying to get a video from Homer. He may have, I don't know, but that would be part of this arrangement is, you know, you obviously read the agreement, have to abide by those rules, and then watch an operator video, which you never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You pass that stuff, provide proof of insurance, swear that you do the right things, and pay the fee, you'll get a permit to use it and a key. Councilmember Starnes brought up a good point earlier that we should add a bullet point somewhere along the line. I'll fix the verbiage later. Somewhere along the lines that the operator would accept responsibility and liability and not exceed acceptable working load and capacity of the crane. Something. Is that pretty much it, Alan?
Yeah.
To that effect? That way they're not wrecking the machinery. Anyway, this is in response to the council member and the public's idea to start getting more, creating more use of that crane and maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Council have any comments on the? We talked about it in the workshop, so pretty much went over that in the workshop. You guys out there have any comments as far as like?
Just listen to one of the conversations, I think, with the video.
that was homemade, and the way it sounded, it'd probably be better off to make it own. But unless there's been a change, when I read your ordinance, that proof of insurance is only if you're going to plug into a crane and let one of your crew or somebody like that operate it instead of yourself?
Right.
Okay.
Allow another person to operate.
Because if you have $1 million liability, just operate crane, nobody can operate.
Right. No, and I think that was for guys who come down and apply for the card and or issue the card that they can't give it to. Like, if I work for you, can't give it to me, you're going to be running the crane. And if you want me to do it, you have to have proof that your boat insurance would cover the use of that crane. Probably is what I would think could be included in your insurance package.
Okay. That's a good point. I mean, any phone can make a video these days. We can do something like that. Figure out who's going to start in it, I guess.
Well, you kind of follow that pattern down. Maybe get you to do that one that they did in home. And just put you in there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Insurance companies are a great source of safety videos. I know Liberty Mutuals, they just, you ask and they'll send all kinds of stuff your way too. Hmm. For us, that's all. Otherwise, Coast Crane or somebody will sell us one. Arxis, they'll sell us one.
They will. They'll make you one. Any other? Alvin?
You may check with Harbor Masters Association. They may have something like that available.
Okay. Any other further comments on the crane policy? Other than the adjusting the...
Yeah, I'll make that adjustment that I only recommend doing.
Maybe a motion with that to it would be a good start. Do we have a motion from the council for this policy?
I think a motion to adopt a dock crane use authorized agreement from an operator.
With Alan's addition.
With Alan's addition, sorry.
Okay. For a second?
Second.
Okay, any further comments on it? Hearing none, question please.
Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Ganoshis Reward Fund. We did discuss that during the workshop today. You know, Chief, maybe you could help us out a little bit on...
Sure. Most of you know Tony Ganoshis was a victim of a homicide that occurred here about 10, 12 years ago. The case remains open, and our interest has been piqued recently by some information that we received. We continue to get other pieces, and we're looking at... asking for help for a little bit of seed money and situational assistance in managing a fund that can be a reward fund to encourage people perhaps to consider providing the information, but also to allow us to post posters and things like that, you know, keeping the event alive and in the minds of people. So we would ask that the city consider donating some funds. I think $1,000 is probably a good place to start, and also help with managing that fund, and it would be payable in a very simple way. We can come up with some language, but it would have to be payable for information that resulted in the prosecution, arrest, and conviction of a person who's responsible for this homicide, or persons.
Thank you.
In a nutshell, that's what we're asking for.
And just for public information, we did discuss that at the workshop today. It's been discussed in the prior meetings before, so this is just... It's been passed on to the next meeting, so this is the meeting that we're looking for a motion in the form of what we talked about today. So I think we're open for a motion, unless there's any further comment on it.
No comment, but be happy to answer questions.
Okay.
Well, I'll make a motion to start a reward fund for Tony Ganasius for $1,000 for leading to the arrest and conviction of the criminal, I guess.
May I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, question please.
Marita?
Yes.
Moriette?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Tammy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Vicious dog ban. This was presented to us last meeting and was requested to be put on the agenda for this meeting. So in our workshop today, we did come up with some things that are in the code of ordinances for the city of Sandpoint. And under Title 12-10-040, vicious dogs, any dog licensed or unlicensed that the enforcement officer has in a reasonable exercise of judgment determined to be vicious shall be destroyed by the enforcement officer. If a vicious dog poses an imminent threat of harm on a person or property, a dog may be destroyed to prevent such harm from occurring without notice to the owner. Another case of the enforcement officer will, if the owner can be identified, give the owner of the dog notice and opportunity to be proper to destruction of the dog. And under B, which is ordinance was passed in 2012, amended, no person may own, possess, or keep a vicious dog in the city. But we were, and we have some people who are concerned about the type of dogs that we have in the city, and maybe I can, before we discuss, I could let them maybe talk a little bit about it. We did give us some information on the there's several different dogs, American Pit Bull, and there's a few other dogs in here. Rottweilers, Mastiffs, and American Bulldog. So, Joanna?
Hi, I'm Joanna Ludwig. I didn't want to have to be a Pit Bull band lobbyist, but I guess it got dropped into my lap when me and my dad came under attack. And I wish I had some ugly scars to show me to be even more convincing, but luckily the dog was not able to get his teeth into my dad's neck or my neck. But then that sent me on a 5-year journey of kind of researching it on the side, and I knew I wanted to bring it up to the city council, you know, but I was procrastinating, and then there weren't any pit bulls in town for all those 5 years until about 6 months ago, and then someone brought their pit bull here, so then it reignited me, which I'm glad it did. And I'm telling you, from the research I've done, it is just sickening, and it's horrifying. And more and more people are being attacked and killed. If you want to make yourself throw up, you could go to some websites like dogsbite.org and see some of the attack videos. It's horrifying, and it hit close to me when I saw my dad in the throes of an attack, and luckily he was able to protect himself. And like a week after that, when it came to me getting attacked, luckily the dog didn't get a hold of me, and my friend was able to put the dog down. And again, at that time, hundreds of people came up to us and said, thank you for getting rid of that dog. We were scared of it also. And so a lot of the research I did is kind of on a printout up there, so if anybody wants to see it, it's up there on the table. And if anybody has any questions, I think I'm kind of a pro on this subject right now, so bring them on.
Council? Questions or comments? Anybody in the audience?
I'd like to say something. I too have had pit bull encounters, not in Sandpoint, but in California, and was terrorized for about 6 months by a pit bull. It was the most horrendous experience of my life. He never did get his teeth into me, as John has said, but the psychological damage that it did, the constant aggression toward me was just horrifying, and it took me many years to get over it. Recently, I was out taking pictures this summer, and there's a little boy that lives across the street, and he has a tendency to get away from his dad a couple times. Little guy, about this big. And there was a rock pile that he just loved to go to. Dad wouldn't, he wouldn't be there very long. Dad would be after him within like 5-6 minutes, looking for him, frantic, and get him and bring him back. So this would happen about 8:30 in the morning. So one morning, right around 8:30, when the little boy usually escaped into the rock pile, here comes this pit bull down the street running with another dog. And I have been traumatized by him, but just looking, the pit bull gave me a look that just froze me and caused terror in me. And I was thinking, what if that little boy had been down there at that time? And, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. He wasn't on a leash. I have photographs if anybody cares to see him. But, pit bulls are very dangerous and very scary. And I think the children deserve your protection.
I think most animals that do attack you and are of significant strength and size would be traumatizing for anybody, myself. I know there was just an incident in the paper that happened on a bear attack, and that's a quite large animal, but you know, people are traumatized through issues like that. So, council, anybody else have any comments? Sure.
I guess about the thing, if anybody were to bring a pit bull in town, maybe have a background check on it. And see if it had any history, because I believe that if you bring a dog up right, it'd act right.
Right. And I was looking at some of these types of ordinances that were in here, and I've seen a couple of them from different places that said pit bulls and Rottweilers declared potentially dangerous. I mean, I see some of those declared potentially dangerous. Those are some declarations that I see, and then I'll look down to a couple of the other places, ban pit bulls, and there's quite a few that ban pit bulls also. So those are things I noticed in this brochure that we did forward to us. So thank you for that. That's very informative. Council direction I'm looking for as well.
So, Joanna, what you're looking for is for us to put a definition in our ordinance naming the pit bull as a vicious dog.
I would propose that you just ban all of those dangerous dogs. And what would be awesome about this town, we're so lucky that we're on an island, that most dogs would not be able to get on at Penn Air. You know, they would know. Well, we can't take that to Sandpoint, they say. And also, it is a safety issue for the police chief and his officers, too, because those guys are the ones that have to be the first line of defense on something like this, and their lives would also be in danger. You know, what's amazing to me is this is something that probably in the last 30 years, it's really escalated. And actually, at the time that me and my dad were rushed upon by the dog 5 years ago, it's a lot of attacks started beginning to happen at that time. And so the last 5 and 10 years, what's crazy is over 100 countries and all these places have actually banned them. So it's like in the last 10 years. So it's very new. You know, what Troy said about bringing up a dog, right? That's true, but not every, the other dogs don't have a jaw that's like a bear. You know, this is like a bear running around. It's like having a gun and taking the safety off and putting it on your coffee table.
Edie?
What's the city's policy? I know these vicious dogs are not the only vicious dogs. I've had a couple of my grandsons who've been chased and bit by dogs that are not particularly vicious and known as vicious dogs. And it's my understanding, maybe in the city, or even here, I suppose, if I have a fencing yard, beware of dog or beware of vicious dog, and you come in and get bit, even though I have a warning sign, I'm liable. So, if somebody gets bit by any dog, whether it's in my house, in my yard, what's your policy?
Well, the only policy we've had is what's in our ordinances, Andy. We research our ordinances, and it, I just describe it under the 1210.040. Is there anything else, Andy, that you noticed that would flag you as far as the ordinance goes? Or the question that Edie asked about looking, the liability?
Yeah, looking through, I think that would fall under vicious dogs, yeah. Or if they haven't showed personality being vicious or threatened anyone or harmed anyone, that would be a nuisance, which is right underneath it. But, so there is something in the code to deal with these animals. Chief, I don't know if you have any way to respond with ACO experience.
Sure, there, and I think maybe part of the question is what happens on private property or even in a home if a person were to be bitten. The ordinances apply regardless of where it is or separation between an animal. If an animal is vicious, that's the issue. It's not the separation or whose property it was on. It's the fact that there's a vicious animal in the community that had an incident. And if that were the case, they'd be subject to the penalties that are outlined specifically in the ordinance.
That's probably, you know, you've watched many cases that probably have happened, you know, people who have been bitten on people's property that have been, you know, prosecuted, if you will, and held accountable. So that's part of the system.
Glenn? I just a comment, you know, you have the vicious dog parenting, but that doesn't stop the fact that someone always gets killed or something and bitten really bad. A little late for that to take into the dog. Yeah. I have to agree, the pitbull thing is that.
Why wait for somebody to be mauled right. or killed? Is this a scary part? You know, us adults we can protect ourselves somewhat, but children, especially small children, you know, that was kind of what was going on in the past 5 years ago with the other dog. Is they were waiting for it to bite somebody before they could legally do anything. And I think what was going on at the time is they were actually getting a court order from Anchorage to go in and physically remove the dog from them because they wouldn't give it up. And I think it was like they were just waiting till Monday or something like that, if I remember correctly. And the incident happened over the weekend. Before that. So they were ready to go actually take action against the dog when it was shot. But why wait until it does something bad? And I know that's the only way, and according to the ordinance, for them to do anything against the dog.
Yeah, it's that's better just be scary. Than reactive.
I mean, I still have nightmares about that whole incident myself. So.
So if we're back to the definition of vicious dogs, and we're back to the request for a ban on four, you know, different dogs.
And it costs to ban something.
Yeah. We have a ban on multiple breeds of dogs, yes.
Mayor.
I'm sorry, good question.
Just kind of second what Glenn was saying, and Joanna, I lived with a pit bull, but my roommate had one for a long time when I lived in California, and great dog, really friendly, nice, but when one thing happened, it just snapped, you know, like a dog came up and took something from it. I mean, it was a really friendly dog, but when one thing happened, it was just something snaps, and he sent several dogs to the hospitals. But, you know, the dog may come off very friendly, probably is a very friendly dog, but there's just something in them that triggers, and it just, a child comes up and takes its toy, you know, and boom, that thing triggers. And I love the animal a lot, but they are dangerous, and like Glenn said, you can't wait. You know, something could happen, and then it will be too late.
Okay. Chief?
I just have one thought. I did do a little bit of research. I didn't spend as much time with Joanna, I'm sure. I couldn't find a place in Alaska that had a specific breed restriction. She cites Kotzebue, and I'm not denying that it doesn't exist, but if the council wants to go further, maybe looking at this, perhaps it would be worth it to find that language from Kotzebue, maybe even land that on the city attorney desk, and just for review, Alaska's a pretty liberal state as far as personal rights and private property and those kind of things, and this can't be the first time that this hasn't been played, but if perhaps Cosby does have a set of ordinances and our attorney can say these are legitimate and can be, you know, uniformly enforced without too much problem, then it might give more food in construction of language and what the council might want to consider if they want to continue considering.
Okay. I'm sorry, Eddie?
I support the ban. I mean, why, we don't have to follow somebody else. We can make our own rules. How many dogs have we had brought in, and then they're left, and then they're breeding, and then we have more of these dogs that are not being cared for, and they have this inherent, you know, history. Just stop it. If it, but we'll make our own rules. There's things that, you know, people get pets, lizards, frogs, ants. We shouldn't allow these kinds of animals in, and if they don't want them anymore and let them go, then we have things that we never had before, like these invasive species of flowers and stuff. So, I mean, we could just do an overall animal ordinance.
Okay. All right. Rhett, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, if we wait, I mean, we have a leash law already in place, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So not that that would take the place of that, but if there's a lag in between of decisions, I mean, just making sure that, that the leash law is at least enforced. I know we don't have an animal control person, but if somebody sees a dog running down the road, it'd be a good idea to at least inform the officer so that we can enforce that law.
Well, that's actually a good point because there's a lot of dogs that are not on, that doesn't, a lot of pet owners who do not follow the code on, our ordinance on the leash law. It's their dogs are wander around town all day. They're in the doggy jail, if you will. But then again, I look at those dogs and they're, when they want to come up and give you a hug, that's a different dog, you know, that's what I see. But there's other dogs out there that are vicious dogs, and I don't even go. There's two of them at the Harbor Cafe today that growled at me, and I didn't want to put my hand out there, but I went in there, and they kind of kept me at bay. But that's the reality, and those weren't pit bulls. Those were, you know, family-loving dogs that just... They're skittish, is what they are. They one doesn't have an owner, the other has an owner. But you know, the way that have been, you said it have been abandoned, yes. But you're right. So, just council direction. What's council want to do? I kind of agree with Ray. Actually, look at the vicious dog law we have. But then again, I look at the communities. They do have bans on dogs. So, I agree with Edie. That's under ordinance, under first and second reading for public input. I mean, that's how you. That's how you implement an ordinance that might pertain to being proactive, as Glenn said.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, since it would have to be an ordinance anyway, mm-hmm. I mean, you could start the language now and do a first reading and then have the attorney take a look at it and make sure the wording's right, and then just bring it back and close it out at the next meeting.
Right. Has to be moved on forward to the next meeting, so it's going to take at least a couple of meetings even to get it on for discussion.
Yes, does it have to be all these dogs, though, that you guys are proposing? I mean, I had Doberman Pinschers, and I had a baby, and my baby crawled all over them. I mean, I don't know why we're deeming all these dogs mean, because a lot of the dogs are fine. It's how they're raised. I mean, pit bulls, yeah, pit bulls are really snaky, but I don't know why you'd want to do all these things. It's, you know, I had Dobermans, and like I said, I had a newborn, and he was raised till, I think they got the last, rid of the last dog when he was 13 years old. And I mean, never had a problem with dogs. Not a one. Well, I had 13 of them. I had a mom and pop and 11 pups at one time.
So as far as, I asked Joanna, as far as your request, to be on the agenda, and does it have to be all the species that are mentioned? Would our language entail pit bulls? Would that be sufficient enough to start some type of an ordinance
proceeding.
And I'm glad you guys brought that up, because the reason I did this is if we only ban pit bulls, then the dangerous drug dealer is going to go, well, I'm going to go to the next dangerous dog. I'm going to go to a Rottweiler, or I'm going to go to Bull Mastiffs, Doberman Pinschers, Wolf Hybrids. And there was a lady in town that had to shoot a Doberman pincer here in town because it was going after her kids. And the lady just took out her shotgun and took them out. And that was a long time ago, and it was when it was still legal to discharge a weapon within the city limits. So she took care of that problem, and the guy was so scared that he'd got on the plane the next day and left. So I'm the one that selected all those dogs just from my research. And, you know, I really think that it's people like me that when you're in the throes and you're in the hot seat and you're the one that's going to lose your face, or you're the one that's going to have someone bite onto your neck and not let go, even if the dog goes unconscious. So the only thing that I can figure out from my research is the people that get attacked or are in the throes of an attack. Like, thank God me and my dad did not get bit. But I really think that it's the people like me that are putting all these bans in all these towns. That's all I can figure out. But if you guys want me to look at the ordinance, I'd be more than glad to write up a proposal and see if you guys like it. It's up to you.
Well, I think it would be something that we would, as a city, would get legal counsel on as far as initiating a proposal, number one. Legal counsel is very important, and identification of the types of dogs is another thing. I think that you'd have to be thinking about if you want to include, you know, all kinds of dogs. I mean, but you're right. I agree. You know, they're large dogs, but Dave had a good point that I've owned Doberman Pinschers, and I've owned German Shepherds, and I've owned hybrids, smaller ones, not the large ones, and they were very protective. Yes.
Why don't you just have Brooks draft something up and you can throw it out at the next meeting?
Well, I think maybe you can add the leaf and wordsmith it and whatever else. Well, that's what
get
I was
something rolling.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. It's just if it has to be all the animals that's in there, you know, fine.
I think
but
it does. Yeah. Otherwise, the guy's just going to keep going down.
Okay.
And they're just considered. I need some help here, people. Please, I can't do everything.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah, Andy.
There are specific breeds listed here, but then it ends, any mixes or dogs using them, and other dangerous, vicious dogs. And then that it starts getting really gray. I mean,
yes,
I think everyone here has a story about a dog attacking another dog, another person, whether it's a friendly breed or what Glenn said, I agree with. That's what we need to do, but there will have to be some parameters. It's going to be, otherwise, you know, there is a vicious dog's portion of the code, and I mean, it should probably be maybe enforced a little bit stricter, but I think we need to be very specific,
yes.
But we can't, you know, have a long list of breeds.
Right, and I think, yeah, and I think that Dave.
Yeah, you should have miniature dachshunds down there because they're actually one of the meanest breeds there is. They're a badger hunter. I mean,
who's that badger?
I'm telling you, I own three of them, and I'd be more worried about them than a Doberman Pinscher. They gang up on you. They'll do anything. I mean, my kids sometimes walk in fear if they even come near my wife.
And, you know, I agree. Andy is probably on a track that I would think we should be on is be specific. And number one, remember, just because you propose an ordinance, that doesn't mean that ordinance will be put in place because we have a public hearing on it. And so if you want to be specific about things that may be an easier route to go, as far as banning certain types of dogs, I agree with you. But other people are animal lovers, and I think you're going to find out that you will run into those who are responsible pet owners who abide by the leash laws that put their dogs on leashes, and they keep them in their yards and in their houses, and there are those that don't. Their dogs roam freely around town. So I think you're going to run into that opposition. But we're willing to promote and at least make the presentation and get legal counsel on. Joe, John?
Oh, and you know, these dangerous dogs, they usually do not bite the hands of the guy that's opening the cans of dog food for him. So it's different with your family as it is with other people in the community. You know, he's got his allegiance to you because you're giving him the dog food and taking care of it. And that's normal for a dog to feel in a family. I see that. Thank you very much for listening to all of my goings on. And thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Martin.
Council, yes,
I would be supportive of doing the pit bull ban, but I think like what Andy said, the rest kind of falls in a grayer area. I mean, pit bulls are known, and they do have that trigger that people have talked a lot about, and just I would support that. I think. Adding too many, I don't know how supportive I could be to make that list that long. I think it'd be harder to follow than just the one dog, because I think they all pretty much do fall under the vicious dog policy that we have. That's my position.
Any other help?
The pit bull is one that we've seen in the news more than once that has killed people. Has really killed people. You know, any dog can be made vicious. Probably any animal can be made vicious. But I don't want to make it so broad that people have to shift their animals out or put them down or whatever. I
just like to add one last thing.
I was going to say I was for it, especially like if somebody did get bit. It's like, what can the clinic do? What if the weather is softened? What if the bite's so extreme that?
That's a good point. That is a good point. Dan?
Yeah, I'll support it too. If you look at the bands on the places that have banned them, they're most of them, except for the exception of two, I think, are basically banned just pit bulls. And it's got to go to an ordinance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you put it out to the public and it goes to an ordinance and the public comes in and says, hey, we want more dogs attached to this, that's the option for the public to come to us to apply more if it has to be. So if we do what it needs to have an ordinance to have it put in for pit bulls now, and if public testimony comes in at the next meeting and they want, you know, more dogs attached to it, I think we have to do what, you know, the people direct us to do at that point. I mean, but obviously the second time this just came up, so I think we need to make an ordinance and put pit bulls on it, get the ball going before, you know, nothing happens. So.
Any other council comments on this topic?
I know I talked at the workshop, and it's hard to start a comprehensive list, because actually, having once had a route as a boy, I didn't have any problems with pit bulls, and so there were some other breeds, and I won't disclose them. You know, I don't want them going there. I've had some problems with some other breeds that you wouldn't even think were dangerous, that were vicious. And pit bulls weren't even on that list. I never worried about Dobermans. I didn't have any problems with those. And since I've lived in Sandpoint, the dog that scared me the most was probably some sort of wolf hybrid, but it was a Malamute. You know, appeared to be a Malamute, and that one scared me the most of all the dogs I ever encountered in my life. Was its name Thunder or whatever the heck the name that was? So we start going down the list of it's difficult once, you know, we leave pit bulls and start trying to add other dogs. Pretty soon we're just like St. Paul dog banned island, you know. And I don't think any of us want to live on an island with no dogs. I think we're all, most of us are dog lovers, but I guess I would probably support the pit bull ban, but it's hard to go past that. Because then where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? Okay. We already have the code, vicious dogs. If a dog is vicious towards somebody on the island, you know, we call in our police department and get it taken care of. It's hard to make our police department dog catchers. They have a lot to do, and chasing dogs around the island is a lot to ask three guys.
And I think they touched on some of the national coverage, if you will, on pit bulls. They, you know, most of the times you've looked at the media or anything that came up in the news, it encompassed and was around pit bulls. Most of those were the ones that actually were the vicious dogs and actually doing the damage, actually killed them. But as to what are the council's wishes, director for Andy?
Draft an ordinance.
Okay.
Starting with pit bulls, and then the vicious dog code.
Yes.
So that'll be on for first reading next meeting.
Whenever he gets,
I don't think it'll. Yeah. I mean, that's a small piece of language just to amend that section.
Joanne?
Then we're going to be doing half the job. Because that guy is going to go down the list, I guarantee you, he's going to go to a Rottweiler. And Rottweilers were bred in Rottweil, Germany, by Hitler and his guys. So we're going to put up with those kind of dogs? These dogs were bred to kill. And from all my research, I came to those five dogs, and then the other two sentences down that I feel that it covers the dogs that could be vicious. Hey, if you have a dog and your dog is not one of these and he's fine, that dog doesn't have a problem. But if he turns vicious, then that also covers him too. But I think if you just go with pit bull terriers, and again, if you guys were thinking about it for 5 years like I was like, well, maybe they're going to get mad if I try to put five dogs instead of one. But then I thought, wow, well, then this guy, he says, oh, he can't have a pit bull anymore, so he's going to go to Rottweilers or he's going to go to Bull Mastiffs. I would hate for that to happen. Then we will have done the job halfway. Thank you very much for listening to me. Thank you for serving on the city council and everything. Thank you.
That's a hard one to respond to because dogs that are vicious dogs, you're absolutely right, and how we would put them on a list, how to, you know, identify the dog, but I think we're starting in the right direction. You're bringing that attention to us. Pit bulls are number one. You've had an encounter with that. I would imagine if I was attacked by a vicious dog, every time I see him, I wouldn't want to be near him, so. But it's a good start. I think maybe let us see if we can't draft an ordinance that pertains to that, and we can move forward from there. It's a stepping stone, and it's being proactive. Like Glenn said, we're in a proactive mode, and the council is willing to do that.
And yes? It does play into the Reclaim Alaska thing, because it also cleans up the dangerous drug dogs that people get to protect themselves.
I'm going to have to pass the verse. I can say that. I'm sorry, Council. So we have a directive for Andy. You still want to stay with the pit bull?
Yeah, it's only first reading. We can adjust it if people come in next time.
And that'll be good too, because we get the first reading out and get around to the second reading. You're going to have public comments, public input, and the word will get around for those who may want to come in and discuss that. You might find a lot of supporters for that. So yes,
I'm very brave to do this because your life can go into danger when you propose pit bull bans. You would be surprised.
Well, I would hope that you wouldn't.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you.
KSDP donation request.
Okay. Yeah, we are requesting $2,000 to put toward, right now we are doing a Kickstarter program, and I think everybody's a little bit familiar with that. It's a crowdfunding site, and the reason we wanted to go there is because sometimes you can get the nation a little bit involved and not just put the burden of supporting this on the city and the Aleutians East Borough. Like everybody, there's a certain amount of money in this area and everybody's always tapping into it and asking. So the reason that I'm asking the city council is because we have 10 days left right now to do the Kickstarter project. It is to get a recording studio in KSDT. We have a space that we can reallocate to put a recording studio in. We've been working with Matt and Troy, and we recorded our first song yesterday. You had a little piece of it this afternoon at the workshop, but it was showing you what kind of quality there is as far as the musicians here. We would like to upgrade the facilities so that we can include more of the youth in this area. The studio would be free to everybody involved. We're working with Brad Herndon, and he's very interested and excited to be working with us. We would like to work with the school district to get it involved in their curriculum so that the children could use it as an outlet for something healthy to do. There's a lot of drug and alcohol abuse in Sandpoint, and we want to find ways to help them have something to get excited about. And so we're coming to the city council, ask for the $2,000 to put toward our Kickstarter project. As you know, Kickstarter, if within 10 days I do not raise $25,000, that money will be refunded to the city, which doesn't mean I won't be back, because I plan to follow this through 100% until we get what we need to put a recording studio in there. It's a little step, but it's a big step. Sure. As far as the self-esteem of the kids here, there's something magical about having a song you want out and getting in there and having it actualized. And so we're asking the city council to kickstart this project. I'm going to ask the city of King Cove, because this will be available to everybody in the Aleutians East Borough. And we do want to put it in free of charge, use it as a curriculum, a stepping stone. And all we will ask is to pay it forward, or for whoever wants to use it to come in and teach something, you know, return something to the community. So basically, it won't cost KSDP any that much to run it, because it's already in an allocated space. What we do need is we need to put in a sub-ceiling, we need to insulate it, we need new microphones, and we need a board, we need software, we'd like to get some musical instruments in there, and there are so many good performers in this town that we overlook. The Carlsons right now are performing, and they want to come back and start recording. And what a great asset to the community to be able to go forward and have these musicians record in town and share what they know with the kids. So we are asking City Council to grant us a $2,000 Kickstarter, and if the project goes through, then it will go toward funding this. If it doesn't, it will be returned to the city, and we'll come up for another date to ask more.
Okay. All right, thanks. I know we're looking at our budget for, you know, donations, and that's part of the program we work on. We're budgeted for it. As you said, if you don't raise it, hopefully you will raise it. And within the next 10 days?
10 days is all we have, yes.
And for discussion at the workshop today, I think you need to support the council, so I'll let the council respond to that.
I'll make a motion to donate $2,000 to KSDP's Kickstarter program.
I'll second.
Motion, a second. Any further discussion on? Hearing none. Question, please, Jen.
Danny.
Yes.
Brett.
Yes.
Shirley.
Yes.
Marita.
Yes.
Alan.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay. All righty. Public comments.
I wanted to ask you said there was a link on your web page
On KSDP?
Yeah.
You couldn't find it?
Well, I'm here. Maybe this is the mobile site, but I'm looking at it, but I couldn't find it.
Can you help me out, too?
I can tell you where it's at.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Public comments. Dick?
I followed through with the letter. You guys didn't approve it. I approved a memorandum of agreement. And if it was supposed to go beyond that, it hasn't.
No. We signed it. We signed the agreement.
We signed a memorandum of agreement. And it won't be approved until after the things are installed. And they're supposed to be coming out on the ferry this weekend and being installed.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't get put into place until you get an accepted sheet like so. And this is one that just happened to be for Pop-Up Avenue and the Airport Road that gives an example. But it hasn't been accepted yet. Therefore, you can't do anything with the money. The BIA doesn't look at a memorandum of agreement to go forward and reallocate the money. And I'm not saying that, you know, the time frame would work anyway, because I think the time frame is in years in the future anyway, next year or whatever. But if it was possible that these guys happened to bring a bunch of extra asphalt and to do the Port Harbor Road, we couldn't access this money because we don't have this piece of paper.
Well, this is kind of what the information was brought to us before was, you're right, and speaking with Tiffany, we did have to do the project up there, put the rails in, make the safe areas up there, and then she moved forward with the BIA request for $1 million towards the Harbor Road project.
And I'd like to qualify my statement, Ken, too. I'm representing myself. I'm
okay,
not representing
okay.
The time. That's what I said this afternoon before I made the statement. But, you know, travel money, and you can go forward and do some different stuff or whatever, but if you don't have this piece of paper, you can't do anything.
Yes, and her explanation was that this, first of all, has to be completed before they will reallocate that. We'll reallocate that money into the road project. That's what I was told. That's what we're. That's what our meeting was about.
It's been 10 years.
Oh no, it's this.
Well, I know everybody's been working and doing their thing.
No, but Dick, the rails, all that stuff you said is coming on the ferry.
Well, I don't know. People are supposed to be coming out of the
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, first of all, to identify that, is this is what I'm being told by the administrator, that this is how it works, and I'm following her recommendation, and we'll continue doing that. She comes back with another recommendation that this needs to be done. We'll address that, and we'll address that immediately.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Any other public comments? Hearing none. Council comments. Hearing none. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Meeting is adjourned.